Oppenheimer shuttled between Los Alamos and Washington, trying to use his sudden celebrity to influence high-ranking government officials. He spoke on behalf of virtually all the civilian scientists at Los Alamos. On August 30, 1945, some 500 of them had squeezed into the auditorium and agreed to form a new organization, the Association of Los Alamos Scientists, ALAS. Within days, Hans Bethe, Edward Teller, Frank Oppenheimer, Robert Christie, and others had drafted a strongly worded statement on the dangers of an arms race, the impossibility of any defense against the atomic bomb in future wars, and the need for international control. Oppenheimer was asked to forward the document, as it became known, to the War Department. Everyone fully expected that the statement would shortly be released to the press. On September 9th, Oppenheimer sent the report to Stimson's assistant, George Harrison. In his cover letter, he noted that the document had been circulated to more than 300 scientists, and only three had declined to sign it. Oppie wrote that while he had had nothing to do with its formulation, the document certainly reflected his personal views, and he hoped that the War Department would approve its publication. Harrison soon phoned Oppie to say that Stimson wanted more copies for circulation within the government. But Harrison added that the War Department did not wish to release it, at least not just yet. Unhappy at this delay, the ALAS scientists pressed Oppenheimer to do something. While admitting that he too was disturbed, Oppie argued that the administration must have a good reason, and he urged his friends to be patient. On September 18th, he flew to Washington and 2 days later phoned to say that the situation looked real good. The document was being passed around, and he thought the Truman administration wanted to do the right thing. However, by the end of the month, the administration had classified it. The ALAS scientists were also stunned to learn that their own trusted emissary had reversed himself and now concurred in the decision to suppress it. To some of his colleagues, it appeared that the more time Oppie spent in Washington, D.C., the more compliant he became. Oppenheimer insisted that he had a good reason for his change of heart. The Truman administration was about to propose legislation on atomic energy, and he explained to scientists at Los Alamos that public debate of the sort reflected in the famous memo was very desirable, but that they should wait, as a matter of courtesy, until President Truman released his own message on atomic energy to Congress. Oppenheimer's appeal was hotly debated back in Los Alamos, but ALAS's leader, William Willie Higginbotham, argued that the suppression of the document is a matter of political expediency, the reasons for which we are not in a position to know or evaluate. ALAS, however, had one representative who does know what is going on and knows personally the people involved, that is, Oppie. A motion was then carried unanimously that Willie tell Oppie that we are strongly behind him. Oppenheimer was, in fact, doing his best to reflect the deep concern his fellow scientists held for the future. Late in September, he told Undersecretary of State Dean Acheson that most Manhattan Project scientists were strongly disinclined to work any longer on weapons, and not merely a super bomb, but any bomb. After Hiroshima and the end of the war, such work, he said, was felt to be against the dictates of their hearts and spirits. He was a scientist, he told a reporter disdainfully, not an armaments manufacturer. Not every scientist, of course, felt this way. Edward Teller was still promoting the super to anyone with the patience to listen. When Teller asked Oppenheimer to urge that research on the super continue, Oppie cut him short. I neither can nor will do so. It was a reaction that Teller would never forget or forgive.